Welcome to the Relational Recovery Podcast. I'm your host, Wes Thompson, joined by my co-host, Austin Hill. Today, we're in part three in our conversation. We hope you enjoy.
Well, let's think about how trust relates to life mapping for a moment, because life mapping is something that we try to do consistently at the Refuge, which is a really simple and yet difficult but powerful tool. The first question I want to ask, just for all of us, right? Anyone listening, but just to kind of set this up, is just to ponder, what did my caregivers, in other words, what did nurture look like for me growing up? When I was a young person, what was my household like? What were the parents like? What was school like? What did my nature and nurture look like growing up?
No, that's a big question.
Yeah, and the reason that we ask it is because that whatever that looked like for you and for me, it set us up. It set the stage for how we relate right now. Whatever the early stuff, whatever that was like, that set the stage for how we relate with other people and with God and everything else. It set the stage for how we relate later in life. So how you see other people and how I see other people and how we interact has so much to do with how the people that we trusted or that we were supposed to trust early, how they showed up for us and to us. So it's important to kind of just ponder and start there and then wonder and think, you know, what was that like? And so I'll get into kind of the nuts and bolts for a second, and then, you know, you can chime in. But when we talk about life map, we're essentially talking about memory. We're talking about what are the events that took place that stand out to you in your life. The time that I did this really intensively, it was interesting that when I was in seminary, I had a class. They didn't call it life mapping, but we essentially did life mapping. And what I did was I wrote down all the memories I could think of on all these different post-it notes. Because the goal at first was just what happened. Essentially, you think about your life and you answer the question, what happened? And a lot of memories come up. And so the first thing I did was just write each memory on kind of a post-it note. So just the summary, very short, and just put it on the wall. I wrote down all these memories that I could just, again, I wasn't thinking about it from beginning to end at that point. I was just, whatever came up, I wrote it down and I stuck it on the wall. After I wrote down every memory that came to mind and just on top of my consciousness, I started to order them. I started to take those post-it notes and order them from earliest to most recent. And then I started to ask myself, because again, I'm just listing the events at this point. Is there anything missing? Are there any gaps in memory? Like, are there a lot of memories at a certain spot, but there's no memories at another spot? Like, for example, maybe I've got a lot of memories at age like 8, but no memories at age 6 or no memories at age 14. That's interesting. So like, what can I remember what happened in those ages? And I'm just kind of just, I'm not judging at this point. I'm just trying to write out what happened. Well, what happened in my life? And then the second step, and this isn't really what we did in seminary, but this is what we do at the Refuge. And the second step is how did it make me feel? When I think about these memories, what are the emotions associated with them?
Yeah, specifically, how did it make you feel? Not how it makes you feel now, how it made you feel in that moment. trying to look back into that. Well, they are, but they're different steps. Yeah, they're different steps.
Yeah. Yeah. How did I feel when, you know, I was 14 and so-and-so happened? What did it make me feel? So I listed the event, but the second step is really thinking about connecting it to my body, connecting it to my, really reflecting on how did this impact me? And then the third step is like, we call it the interpretation, but what does that mean? What did I tell myself, or what did I believe as a result of that event and that feeling? What did I believe? What did I tell myself? What did I vow to myself? Well, how did it change the way that I see the world? And to use a negative example, how often this shows up is, let's just say you were, you know, in your early teens, and something happened to you that was painful. And so the you know, this painful thing happened. The emotion obviously is like some level of, maybe it was pain, or maybe there was sadness associated, maybe there was anger associated with the pain. And maybe you told yourself, I'm never going to put myself in a situation to experience something like this again. So my belief is, I'm not ever going to make myself vulnerable in this way ever again. And because I can't trust so-and-so. And so again, just giving kind of this quick made up example, those kinds of events, emotions, and interpretations or beliefs impact the way we show up later in life, and ultimately keep us distanced from parts of ourselves, but really also keep us distanced from other people. Unless we grew up in a perfect, stable, and secure environment, which is unfortunately rare.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Relational Recovery Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow with part 4 of our conversation. We'll see you then.